Hey mama, and welcome to MILF School. This is the Master Internal Love First School, you little perverts. My name is Julia Kotsiamani, and I am the only love, sex, and relationship coach who works exclusively with single moms. This is the show for you if you want to learn more about dating consciously and expansively around having kids. We get deep and juicy with this one, so it's not one for little ears. So take some time for yourself and buckle up, sister, because it's going to be one wet and wild ride. Hello, mothers and motherfuckers, and welcome to MILF School. That's the Master Internal Love First School. And it's been a little while, hasn't it? I wanted to address that first. It's been a little while since I have released a podcast. It's actually been longer than I've even been posting them up because I had a slight backlog of interviews. And so I haven't recorded one for a little while, but No fear, I'm back and I'm going to be doing them more regularly. And I do have a very good reason. And the reason that I haven't been as present online over the last, at least 3 months, maybe four, is that I am expecting again. And this, for any of you who follow me online, won't be huge news. But I have... Yeah, I'm pregnant. I'm currently 16 weeks pregnant with my third baby. And it's been slightly different. So I thought I would come on and talk about that a little bit. It's very different from my first two pregnancies, which were, well, my kids are now 8 and 6. So it's been a little while. I'm now in my mid-30s, where I was in my mid-20s before. I don't know, maybe we could stretch it. I'm in my early to mid-30s. But the body, it's hitting the body differently. Obviously, this is also with a different partner. My other two children are with my ex-husband, and this is with my new fiancé, Alan, who's been on the podcast and will be coming on again, because we're going to do a specific episode probably next. This will probably be the second one back, about what it is like to be in an intimate relationship with somebody who's pregnant, what that feels like from a partner's perspective. I have been struggling, I'll be completely honest, because my whole kind of thing is about body positivity and sex positivity and healthy relationships and all of those things, and things that I truly and to my core believe that we as single mums can navigate well, consciously, and as a result our families will kind of benefit from us doing that work. The mastering internal love first part is why this podcast is called MILF School. And I have struggled. It's been tricky. I have kind of had a full disconnect with my body during this period. I don't know if it's because it's my third pregnancy. It might be that I'd taken a little break when the gym was shut after Christmas, but the pregnancy has hit me very hard. I've gained more weight than I did with my other two. I'm showing, which at 4 months, I'm not sure I was. And we've also had a challenging time. I've had an awful lot of morning sickness, which is something, again, that wasn't a huge issue in my previous two pregnancies, and it's been very debilitating. Like, honestly, it feels like I've necked a litre of vodka every night for the last 3 months. It has slightly alleviated now, but it's still coming back occasionally when I guess I'm tired or I've not eaten the right things, whatever. Whatever triggers these things, hormonal surges, who knows? It feels like a bit of a mystery. So that's been very debilitating. Up until the end of term, which, you know, all of us here in the UK know it's now the summer holidays. My kids are at home, or have been, and For those of you that don't know, I also work as a supply teacher, or at least I did. I have recently given that up to focus on this business full time, which is an amazing development, which I will talk about more at another time. But I've been able, which is incredible, to be able to do that. But I have been working as a supply teacher, and the kind of combination of teaching in UK secondary schools, which are not always the easiest settings to teach in. I teach year 9 and 10, now that year 11s have all finished. The combination of that and quite epic morning sickness, which has hit me all day, every day, has meant that I just have not felt it possible to be hugely present online, apart from feeling pretty drab and low in energy. So it's been quite a challenge, because obviously I've moved my business online recently. I've still been working with my one-to-one clients, but I haven't felt inclined to kind of show up in the way that I normally do. And I've been experiencing an awful lot of mum guilt around that, because we do, don't we? I think mum guilt is a real thing, and it doesn't really matter what you do as a mother, it comes with some guilt. And we talk about this a lot in terms of our careers and work, and if we leave the kids, go to work, or if we leave our careers to stay at home, you know, there's guilt associated on all sides. And in her rather fantastic book, Pregnant Then Screwed, Jolie Brearley talks, she has a whole chapter just dedicated to mum guilt, which I think is really worth a read if you haven't already done it. And that book is essentially about the motherhood penalty in a professional setting. And I wanted to talk a little bit on that, and also a little bit about this notion of a motherhood penalty when it comes to our romantic lives and our relationships with our bodies, our sex lives, and how it kind of trickles into all areas. So let's get into it. I felt guilty that I hadn't been showing up as I wanted to, and then I checked myself and I thought, do you know what? Like, what would I tell a client who was going through this exact situation? To add to this, just as a little side note, which is possibly relevant, I am also studying for my master's degree at the moment, and I interrupted a whole year last year because of the kids being at home. So I already felt like my studies had been put on pause for a really long time. So I'd come back and then I'd got pregnant and the pregnancy was totally planned. I just hadn't factored in, because I hadn't experienced it before, that I would become so terribly ill. And so I've had a couple of, I think I've had, you know, 6,000 words or something to produce for my degree. I've been working 3 days a week or 4 days a week, supply teaching. I've kept on my one-to-one clients. I obviously am running a household at the same time. And yeah, that kind of amounted to something having to give. And what would I tell a client who was going through this particular situation, and was not feeling quite themselves and quite their most resilient best? And I would obviously tell them to give themselves some grace, right? You are one human, and you can do one person's amount of things. And if you are growing a person, and for whatever reason that's taking a very hard toll on you, then you give yourself some grace. So this is not a podcast where I'm apologizing. Importantly, I'm not apologizing. I am explaining that I have given myself some grace. I've needed to take this time off from making content, recording, also from, you know, guest appearances, from talking on panels, from writing things. I've taken a kind of big break from everything except my one-to-one coaching practice, essentially. And I've needed to do that because other things have been unavoidable. And that's fine. We have to make these decisions. They do come with some guilt. And I've done the thing that we all fall foul of occasionally, where I've started just comparing myself to other people who are able to show up in ways that I normally do and would like to. And I've just been doing that. And the reason I've set up this business, the reason I have planned this so that I can finish up my teaching work, the reason I gave up full-time teaching and started this business was that I would be able to balance my professional life with my home life in a way that suited me better. All that has meant is that for the last few months, I have had to take time out of the digital space. I have needed to care for myself. I've needed to look after my kids. And we have to be able to give ourselves that kind of grace. Again, in that really amazing book, Pregnant Then Screwed, they also have an amazing Twitter and Instagram. So I thoroughly recommend anybody who is interested in how motherhood affects us at a societal level, politically and in our professional lives. I implore you to go and check that out, because there's so much, it's just a wealth of knowledge on there that's brilliant. And I think we talk about this, the guilt, the wanting to be all things to all people, the need to show up everywhere as best you can, and that sometimes that's not possible. We talk about this a lot in our professional setting, and I recognise I'm doing that now because I'm explaining to you where I've been. But it has also taken a big toll on my relationship to my body, my relationship to my partner, and my relationship to my pleasure. And so I want to talk on those things. I'm, as I said, doing an episode with Alan next, and we're going to talk about what, I think, just brazenly, what it's like to be in an intimate relationship with somebody who has a very changing view of their body and how they feel. I've made no secret of the fact that I have had a complicated relationship with my body forever. I have suffered from eating disorders, and I am a big, big, big advocate of learning to at least accept our bodies, if not love them, and feel that that is extremely important. And I'm also human, and this bit at the beginning where you feel very sick, I felt very swollen and bloated, and it's that weird bit where you don't quite look pregnant, but you you look like you're kind of thickening. And I've struggled with that a bit. It's also had a huge effect on my own personal pleasure practice. I've experienced quite a lot of bleeding. We've been in and out of hospital, I think, 4 times now, just because I've had bouts of unexplained bleeding. The baby's fine. The scans have all shown that they're fine. But obviously that's been quite anxiety inducing. And for a little bit of time, I was put on pelvic rest, which for anyone who has been on it, or anyone who knows anyone who has, it's essentially what it sounds like. You don't do anything with your pelvis, basically. So no penetrative sex, no penetrative sex toys, and, you know, no orgasms, essentially, for a couple of weeks. And this coincided with me getting sent some rather exciting sex toys. Bear dating, I won an amazing sex toy, which I want to talk about a little bit. We'll probably touch on it in that episode with Alan. But that's been a slow process, and it's been one that I've also had to take time out of. And part of my own self-care regime is that pleasure practice. It's a kind of key component of how I connect with myself, my body, how I feel embodied. And I've felt, as I'm sure lots of mothers do, that my body is very suddenly and very really not my own in a real way. Not, I don't know if really is the right word. In a real way, it's felt like my body is not my own. I'm a little bit out of control. That spilled out into my work, because obviously this business and working, with single mums is my absolute passion in life. It's what I want to do. It's what I'm best at. It's, it's my absolute calling. It's the thing that I'm here to do. And not being able to show up in the ways that I have wanted to, has been really challenging. And to not embody the things and the messages that I say has felt challenging. And that is why it's really important to remember all the time that it's very easy to look at people online who are saying, oh, I have an amazing sex life and all this pleasure practice, and, you know, I really know how to connect with my body, and I really love my body, and it's all very simple. We all have moments, even if that is our life, our life's work and our life's calling, where that just isn't the case. And so giving myself that grace to take the time out has felt really important. also giving myself the grace with how different things are currently in my sex life, in my relationship. My relationship is excellent, and we'll talk about that together. I think it's there is so much to go into around that, because obviously, as a single mum, I haven't had to co-parent, though Alan has been in my family a couple of years now. My marriage ended when I was quite early on pregnant with my second child. So I've never really, and even with my daughter, my first child, it was not an equal relationship. I didn't feel particularly supported when pregnant. That did feel like a lone journey in lots of ways, and very really with my son. In a very real sense, I was alone, and my daughter was two. And so I had a two-year-old and I was pregnant, and that was kind of, it had its simplicity because I didn't have to, on top of that, manage a relationship. And so I've never really done it this way. And there's a lot to go into around that. And I will talk about it more. But what happens when you find yourself expanding your family, when you have been a lone parent for a really long time, has thrown up some interesting things. It's thrown up a lot of fear for me. Fear of abandonment, which I will talk to about with Alan as well. It's thrown up a lot of fear for me. My former partner was very turned off by my pregnant body. We didn't have sex at all from the moment I got pregnant until well after I'd given birth and had got back to my kind of normal self, and like lost the baby weight, essentially had no remnants of looking pregnant. It wasn't something that I've ever had to navigate particularly. I kind of put on a baggy t-shirt and was largely sexually ignored. And that is, I think, the experience of a lot of people. And I think that's very challenging. But I've also found it challenging the other way with a partner who has not done what I am used to, which is essentially pack up shop on that front. And we're navigating that in a different way. It's unleashed some body insecurity I didn't realize was there. And there's huge fear of abandonment, which I'm sure loads of you can relate to. And I just want to be really transparent about this journey, actually, because I work with a lot of women who their sort of end goal is to meet a new wonderful partner, and to, in lots of cases, extend their family further. They may want more children, or they, you know, fully want to integrate someone. And it's not like, it's not a movie, you know, it's not kind of like you meet this great person, they propose, you have a baby, you get married, you have a baby, and happily ever after. These things take careful navigation. And I knew this, and I've done a lot of research into this, and I've helped women through this, and I haven't experienced it myself until now. It's really been interesting to live through some of these things that I know can happen and I know are challenging. So I'm going to talk with Alan about that, specifically how it's affected my own relationship to my body and how that's trickled into our dynamic. In terms of sexuality, I'm interested in different things right now than I am normally. There's been some fear for both of us, Ari, the bleeding, and I think lots of couples go through this, like how much sex and what kind of sex is appropriate during pregnancy. It's very easy to like sort of read on the NHS website, and then unless something's wrong, you know, full steam ahead, just continue a normal sex life. I think that's hardly ever the case for anyone. And so we're going to talk on that. I've also realized that I have latent fears around birth. I have had two quite challenging births. My daughter, you know, arguably normal, but did take 4 days. I was in labor for 4 days, and then eventually had, you know what, I honestly can't remember. It was some sort of intervention. It was either forceps or ventouse. I had a failed epidural, and it was all just very exhausting and prolonged, and wasn't the kind of lovely birth that I had planned, which involved, you know, no drugs and whale song and whatever else I naively thought I would have. So that was challenging, but not dangerous. My son was an undiagnosed footling breach. So he came out one foot first quite quickly, and then needed quite a lot of resuscitation for about 8 minutes. So that was very scary. I then had a big hemorrhage. So I realized that in the run up to another birth, which I didn't necessarily think I would, was something I would go through again. I've got work to do there. And also just that integration of a completely new little person into my children's lives. So I'm going to be doing a whole podcast episode about this, but that new baby is not going to have the same relationship with their father as my other two. And how do we navigate that? How are we going to sort out a situation where this baby has a very attentive, very present father who's very involved in their lives? And how do we as a family navigate that? A kind of caveat to that, my partner is extremely good with my children. He treats them as a father would, but you know, this is his first biological child. How are we going to have those somewhat tricky conversations about our feelings? How are we going to navigate my children going to their fathers and this child not going? And there's just quite a lot there to unpack, and there are some fears around that. And I think acknowledging those fears, accepting that they're there and that they are areas where we're going to need to do some work is the first point of that. So it's not all sunshines and rainbows, though we're obviously over the moon. The kids are very excited. This baby has been planned for a while. We were trying for perhaps longer than felt comfortable, actually. We were starting to think perhaps we'd need to look into some fertility treatment. So this is a much wanted planned baby, and yet there is some difficulty. So that's basically where I've been. I am feeling much better. So thank you for everyone who sent me amazing messages checking in. The morning sickness does seem to be abating now that I'm kind of well into my second trimester. And hopefully things are getting back to normal. I'm not on pelvic rest anymore. I'm able and very willing to have sex. So I am reinvigorating my self-pleasure practice as well. And there are some differences there. So I'm going to do a whole sex episode. But I just wanted to touch on some of those issues. The pressure that we put on ourselves to be everything to everyone all of the time. The guilt, which I think is very normal, but I've just had to sort of sit with and be like, obviously, I'm not going to force myself to go on and do an Instagram live if I'm not feeling like I can hold it together. Obviously, there's sometimes things just need prioritizing when you're a parent. And I have created this business and this lifestyle for myself to allow myself that grace. That is the entire point, aside from the obviously important work I think that I do. I think that these are things that we need to be talking about. I think my business is much needed and has a very social element. But at the same time, I am, you know, essentially, other people do obviously work for my business and do bits for me, but essentially I am one person. When you are a sole trader or a solo entrepreneur, there is a lot of pressure to be there showing up. And I want to do that authentically, and I want to do that without forcing myself. And when I do show up in person, when I run workshops, when I run seminars, even just creating content online, even just doing these podcasts, I want to do that from a place of authenticity. I don't want to perform for you and show up when I really don't feel that I am giving it my best. The motherhood penalty, which is the fascinating topic of that book, which if you haven't noticed, I have just recently read, I think it extends very interestingly into our dating lives as well. And it is one of those areas where it's a kind of unspoken assumption that dating as a mum is harder than dating as a dad. I think single dads, as I've said numerous times before, do face challenges. There's practical challenges. But there is a kind of assumption that when you're a mother, you are expected to behave by a certain pattern. You know, you're supposed to be a certain way when it comes to your romantic life, your sex life, how you show up in the world. And you can't get it right. So feel okay about that. Like, there is no right way. You can't be all things to all people all the time. And just acknowledging that felt very, it gave me a huge sense of relief to just be like, do you know what? Like, yes, like, you are somebody who is a mother. You're also somebody who's sexual. You will not please everybody with this. There will be judgment. There shouldn't be, but there is. And just accepting that can be very helpful in navigating going forward. So if you are a mum and you want a date, then there will be all kinds of opinions floating around. There'll be opinions if you want a new husband and you're not looking for anything less. There will be opinions if you want to have casual sex. There will be opinions if you never want to date again. There will be opinions about all of these things. You can't do it right. There is a whole world set up against you. And just acknowledging that and being part of accepting that and understanding that it isn't all on your shoulders. And even your romantic life is kind of social and political in a very real sense, can be a great relief. So I'd like to implore you to have a little think about that and be like, well, how do I build a lifestyle that works for me and my family? What kind of romantic life would I like? And just try and set aside those inevitable judgments that will come from it. So I am going to record this podcast with Alan. I think it's probably going to be called something like Having Sex with Someone Who Hates Their Body. And I want to just say that I don't hate my body, but I'm having a challenging relationship at the currently. And all our relationships go through challenging points. So we will talk on that. And that will be a kind of sex specific podcast. So I'm going to do that next. But I'm basically back. I'm slowly building up to it. I'm doing some more collaborations, which is fantastic. And I've started to develop a new program, which is very exciting. So I will talk about that later. But yes, that's where I've been, basically with my head down the toilet for the last 3 months. and yeah, grace. I have given myself the grace to do that. So that's what's been going on. So I'm going to kind of wind this up for this particular episode. But I will be back very, very soon with more juicy sex talk. And we've got some amazing episodes coming up. I've been busy booking in amazing guests and have been thinking about some just killer topics. So keep on tuning in and I will be back with you very shortly.